Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, beautiful listeners. I am love. I am loving. I am lovable, and so are you. Thank you for joining me during this pandemic time on our planet. I send you love and wonderful health. This is Jude Albright, your host, and I welcome you to Love Your Addiction. Yes, I did say love your addiction. Today, we are going to be focusing on is it feel good or control? Just what is codependency? Many of us have forgotten that we are love, that we were created by a loving creator. And I'm going to call that Father, Mother, Creator, God. But there are many names for it, like Source, All That Is, Supreme Being, Universe, Higher Power, and so on. Many have also forgotten that we are creators too. Why have we created addictions? Well, they are a magnificent tool for learning, and so has COVID-19 been. Here in this third dimensional world, we have chosen to learn to experience life through polarities, like hot and cold, male and female, health and coronavirus. I believe that we're all looking for love, mainly because of our loss of connection to our source, to our God, or whatever you wish to call it. Often we look for this love from our families, and we don't get it because they can't give us what they don't have. And this leaves a mark on us as kids, and we start thinking that there's something wrong with us. Well, I know for certain there is no thing wrong with any of us. So stop thinking that way, please, please. Today, we will be looking at is it feel good or control? How does codependency work? I know that we've all heard the words codependent thrown around, but do we really know what it's all about? What if we have been programmed to try to control things, to control people? Of course, I know that you know that we can't control what we didn't create. Yet we try and try and try. Today, we're looking at codependency and its traits. So if you have specific questions or comments, please call in at 516-453-9181 and we'll talk about them. Or you can go into our chat room, which you will find online on our Love Your Addiction Blog Talk Radio page. Excuse me. COVID-19 has certainly changed our world. There have been many losses, and Earth will never be quite the same. What will it be like? Well, that's up to each of us individually and collectively. I'm wondering, how are you handling the changes? What are you doing to comfort you? Have you been trying to control your feelings by drinking, smoking pot, or controlling others? Excuse me. We are offering suggestions. Please call in with your thoughts, 516-453-9181. 8:1. We are all dying to the old so that the new can come in. Let's look now at what we can do. When something feels good, we know it. Our whole body knows it. There are no questions in our mind about right or wrong. But when we get that anxious feeling that is an indicator that we are trying to change something or control it to be the way we want it, we understand that too. So in a moment, we're going to look at the differences between being truly loving and codependency. Now, when I talk about something feeling good, those of you who immediately went to sex, stop it. Because sex may feel good to the teenager who knows it is not in his or her best interest. However, there is a question about right or wrong that pops up in their minds from what they have been taught. When we are truly loving, we always feel good. It always feels good. It feels good to take care of somebody. It feels good to go and see somebody who's sick, to help somebody in some way. In other words, we are putting ourselves first and allowing us to help another. Now, when a family member or a close friend is in a serious addiction, many of us want to help that person. And it's truly loving. And so maybe we conduct an intervention, we talk to that person. That's one way of being truly loving. Or let's say that there is there's a serious situation going on and you tell your child that everything's going to be okay, even though you're afraid that it won't be. Now, you're doing that out of the motivation of protecting them so they will feel safe. So it is a loving thing to do. Now, let's look at codependency. And codependency is really covering for someone when you think you know what's best for someone. However, you don't know their soul plan. You don't know why they incarnated on Earth because they needed to accomplish something in this lifetime. Therefore, when you think you know what's best for them, you are being codependent because you really don't. Now, please don't confuse that with what I said earlier about being truly loving and doing an intervention on somebody who is really hurting in his or her addiction. Codependency has basically been programmed within us through our churches who try to program us that we don't know what's best for us. So we naturally fight that idea because we really do know what's best for us when we're not all screwed up. And so when we try to cover for somebody, we're not doing it out of hatred for that person. We're doing it out of caring for that person. Some typical examples of codependency would be you call in to work because your spouse is an addict and he or she is not capable at the moment. You lie for the addict, partner, or family member, or with the addict. By being a caretaker, you're meeting the needs of another. You have become a people pleaser. A lot of codependents have a hard time saying no to someone. Their boundaries are pretty poor. They have blurry or weak boundaries, and the codependent feels responsible for other people's feelings and problems, or they blame their own or someone else for those problems. Some codependents have very rigid boundaries by being closed off, making it hard for other people to get close to them. And sometimes codependents flip back and forth between having weak boundaries and having rigid ones. A consequence of having poor boundaries is that you react to everyone's thoughts and feelings. And if someone says something you disagree with, you either believe it or you become defensive. Another effect of poor boundaries is that if someone has a problem, you want to help them to the point that you give up yourself and you become a caretaker. When you give up yourself, you embrace codependency. And you absorb control. And control helps codependents feel safe and secure. Codependents also spend a lot of their time worrying about other people or relationships. They're very much in denial about this. Codependents need other people to like them, to feel okay about themselves. Codependency creates a lot of stress, and it leads to painful emotions. Shame and low self-worth create anxiety and fear about being judged, rejected, being abandoned, or making mistakes. And I have often talked about David Hawkins in his Power versus Force, where he, in his book, has a map of consciousness and lets people know what certain feelings vibrate at. And in codependency, if you are vibrating in fear, you are vibrating at 100. When you are truly loving, you are vibrating at 500. You are vibrating in joy at 540 or in peace at 600. Now, I'm sure that I have mentioned some things that some of you want to argue about. And if you're feeling that way, there is probably a codependent part of you that is feeling that way. I'm going to give you some examples from a once upon a time distraught, lonely caretaker. This is someone who was loving an addicted spouse. And this is what she says. I set out his clothes each morning so he would look good and be impressive in his dress. And of course he got the promotion because of it. After all, he was my man. When he lied and exaggerated, as he often did, I stood behind him and upheld his untruths. Actually, before we were married, his mother even told me he was a perpetual liar. And I, of course, knew he wouldn't lie to me. Wrong. When he came back from work smelling like beer, I immediately checked his car, found hidden empty beer bottles in the trunk, and proceeded to lecture him about drinking and driving. When he was too tired or sedated to perform household chores, I did them all. My secret thought process was, after all, I can handle it because I am the stronger one, the superior one emotionally. After much drama, anger, hurt, and pain, utterly drained, I left the marriage, still wishing and hoping I could change him. Notice I said I could change him rather than he would change. And that was an example of my codependency many, many years ago. Now, here is an example of loving, nurturing, using the same addicted spouse as an example. I could have let him, the adult, wear whatever he wanted to. Less for me to do. I could have confronted him on his lies and refused to support them. If I had allowed his drinking and driving, he might have been caught, embarrassed, or even gotten help. Or not. And when he neglected his household tasks, I could have left them undone so they piled up, and perhaps he might have completed them, or not. Yes, I could have taken care of me by not accepting responsibility for another adult's behaviors. That constitutes allowing. If I didn't like those behaviors, I could have left empowered and peaceful, knowing I wasn't being loved or supported in the relationship, and that I deserved to be respected. Was I angry? Of course I was. No one would listen to me, and no one would listen to me because I wouldn't listen to me. It was an energetic reflection. I was denying every part of me, everything that I needed, everything that I wanted in a relationship. All I really wanted from my caretaking and control was for my then husband to say, "Honey, I love you. Thank you for everything you do for me and our family. I really value you as the fabulous person that you are." However, I never heard that because I didn't believe in my worth. And if I didn't believe it, I couldn't say it to myself, and neither could he. Please remember, we get what we think we deserve. We are the creators and can't blame anyone for our circumstances. So if you're blaming somebody, stop it and assume responsibility. Addiction and codependency focuses on response, not on responsibility. Here is another example. Loving a friend who is going through a divorce. I listened to her complaining every day and supported the fact that her husband was indeed a player and an ass. It was all about her. I helped her spy on his whereabouts and reported all that I knew. She worried about money and finances, and I allowed her to dump those fears onto me without confronting her. This is an example of blatant codependency. Her house resembled a filthy shed, and her kids acted unruly and bizarre. I tried to help her clean up her house and her kid messes, but they continued. I was frustrated, but held on to the friendship because maybe she would eventually accept my know-it-all advice and give me credit for my brilliant arrogance. Eventually, she rejected me, just like I was rejecting the support and respect that I needed in a friendship. And that, in a nutshell, was codependency. Now, here is an example of that same friend going through a divorce with loving nurturing. I could have listened to her complaining, but not wallowed in it with her. Rather, I might have supported her in letting go of her husband and allowing him to continue being the player and the ass that he was. I might have reminded her that she creates her own reality and that she can easily find a way to produce more money. I could also have validated to her that her filthy house and unruly kids reflected how she cares about herself. I would have then realized there was a zero available to maintain a healthy working friendship since she was unable to give and receive. I was doing all the giving and refusing the receiving, like most people who think they are the strong one, enabling caretakers do exactly that. Now, I have one more final example, and that is loving a dying parent. And this is true about me. When my dad was dying, I moved in with him and spent the last few months of his life as his nurse. I believe it was the greatest gift that I have given myself, and I believe him too. Through this experience, I was able to better understand myself, my motives, my upbringing, and its effects on me. But most of all, it validated how love and nurturing go hand in hand. I took a leave from my job and I put my normal life on hold, wanting to do this because of my love and respect for my father. I helped him find physical comfort and spent hours talking about whatever topic he chose. We laughed, we cried, we were serious, and we were silly in our conversations. He expressed his fears. I allowed and listened to his death talks, encouraging him to leave when he had had enough. I turned the volume off on his phone when he slept, no matter what time it was, so I could also rest and take care of myself, thus having the strength to care for him. My brothers threatened me that I'd better leave the phone on so they could call whenever they wanted. At this point, my dad could no longer answer the phone, and I assured them I would keep them informed. I also warned them that if they tried to force me to act in a certain way, I would call the police and I would file abuse charges. So you can see the difference between codependency and nurturing or caretaking. When my father actually made his transition, I made the appropriate calls, waited for my brother's arrival, and immediately left to stay with a friend where I could cry and receive her nurturing. By the way, because I had kept myself peaceful, calm, and centered, I woke up that morning with an intuitive knowing that my dad was going to die that day. When I returned the next morning to my father's house, I was locked out. My brothers had changed the locks. Well, had I resumed my former caretaking roles, I might have resented having to leave my job to focus on my dad's needs. Of course, I would have accepted the challenge. I would have accepted it, though, because that's what good caretakers do. That's what good codependents do. And they love to play martyr. Most likely, I would have refuted that he was dying and refused to allow him to discuss his fears, something he desperately needed. And of course, I would have obeyed my brother's commands and let the phone ring anytime so they would be happy. I never would have warned that I would get the police involved if they were abusive. I would have had the point of view that they were just upset and didn't know what they were doing. I also might have argued with them, lecturing them how wrong they were to lock me out of the house. So I have given you examples of both loving nurturing and codependency. It's up to you to recognize which one you are. And if you need more information, I can be reached at www.beingrecovered.net. What is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. And the feeling of truth warmly embraces us. Please remind yourself to stay wrapped in your truth and love, remembering the true, magnificent, powerful, beautiful you. What if you stopped blaming other people's realities? What if you lost your capacity to judge and blame? Do you think your life might be more joyful? Everything that you have done to make you wrong, will you now destroy and uncreate it? Please step into the love that you are. I send you love and a day full of new realities. Goodbye for now. This is Jude Albright saying, stay beautiful.